You might like to open your Bible as we commence our service to Psalm 46. And about 9:15, I assumed the worst weather would come and you would all be blown away. And I said, uh-oh. So I didn't want to do John, because then the three people that would be here were the only ones that knew about John 10:31 to 39. We would be the only ones that understood it. And the new people coming in would never know what happens when we went to chapter 11. So I didn't want to do that to you. And besides, who knows? This God, you just did this, so we'll try it and see what happens. Let's make believe like the Wizard of Oz, there's a big tornado, and we're here, and God, help us. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, and thank you very much for thy word. And Spirit of God, help us with it, that we might be be nourished, that we might be full, fresh, fruitful. God, help us. And we'll thank you very much in Christ's name. Amen. In a world that is troubled and troubling, to say the least, in trouble, making trouble. And so it's hard as a human, I suppose, if you're going to have much hope and you don't want to be like the generations, some of them, young people and that, old people too, that get sort of caught up in the what's the use and what can we do, and we'll just go with the tide down the corridor of time. And wherever it takes us, we gave an illustration of that in the Sunday school a little bit. It's going to take us in a terrible direction and leave us very, very much bankrupt. So therefore, God, we want to be able to see reality rightly and face it. And God, you want us to. It isn't easy to see reality. We don't like to face reality. Part of the reason for that is that reality, when we're looking at reality out here, it slides right back to our own body and heart. And our adequacy or inadequacy of handling it hits us. And it becomes rather personal. So we don't want to have to think of our real character, conduct, condition as it really is. We don't want to do that. God wants us to. We don't want to, but God does. Now, having said that, Psalm 46. In Psalm 46, picking up, if I may, you would recall going to verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's right there, right there, right there in the middle of trouble, no question. And that it gives you the whole sequence. I might as well read it. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed? That's pretty drastic. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, that's an awesome event. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, a great storm. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Also, the whole thing's falling apart, morally and mentally and spiritually. Verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. So in the midst of all the storm, in the midst of it all, there is a wonderful refuge. Like in verse 1, God is a refuge for us. There's a wonderful refuge you have, God. It's like a city with all everything just so. God, verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her right early. Now, the nations, the heathen, rage. The kingdoms are moved. Everything's doing in a very dynamic way at the moment all over the world. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So now, God, here we are looking, and we're to be encouraged as believers, understanding that you are always able to be who you are, a refuge. And no matter how drastic our conditions are, no matter how terrible, God, you are like that city, and you provide for us a wonderful refuge. And you are always a present help, verse 1. Down in verse 5, you're right early. You're never late. You're always on time. And the heathen, everything's not stopping. The world conditions, your physical conditions, everything about you, everything about your world, your work, home, school, everything out there is what it is, and it isn't getting any better. Now, so having said that, what are we to be encouraged about? Well, Lord, the Lord of hosts is with us, as he was with Jacob. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So now, God, having you as our wonderful refuge, sliding over for time, verse 10. Be still, then, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So we're to be still. Cause ourself. Make yourself be still. It's a command. Make yourself be still. Now, what does that mean? Make yourself be still. To let something alone, to back off, to yield, to submit, to cease with awe, backing off, to desist. Realize, I am God, he said. And being realized, don't be struggling. Don't be so struggling, involved, trying to make everything. Don't panic. Don't fall apart. Be calm. Be still. Quiet. Quiet heart. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Quiet. Quiet. Be still. How are we going to be still? Know that I am God. Know that I am God. There's nothing, no one, anything, anywhere that I am not involved with. I know all about it. So God, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of things, we need help. I am a present help. I am a refuge for you. Now, and then you're going to confirm it again. What kind of a refuge? A wonderful refuge. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Huh. The God of Jacob. Now, what about the God of Jacob? Well, he knows God. You know as we said, you know our frame. And you have nothing that is not understood by you. And thus you are to help us. How are we going to be helped? By giving us great information. No. By knowing who I am. You're going to be helped. If I told you these three things, you would understand. That'll help us. No, it won't. No, it won't. It's not sufficient. It's not locked in. What needs to be locked in? Do you understand who I am? Know me. Shh. Quiet. Be still and know that I am God. I'm the God of Jacob. Okay? The God of Jacob. So now, so God, we aren't going to be engulfed with ecstasy and all of this and everything. No, no, no. We're going to look at the realities of life as they really are, as we mentioned. We are frail, faulty, fumbling. And it isn't, that's what we need to do. It isn't ecstasy and wonderful experiences and wonderful movement. No. You need to face reality. I am God, and you need to understand who I am. Once you understand who I am, you're going to relax and know that I can handle anything. When I try to tell you something, you're going to go out and try to use your knowledge and what you understand about it, how you interpret it, what I tell you, and then you're going to try to do something. And how much is it going to work? Not very much, because you're trying to do it, you're trying to understand it, you're trying to make it work with the thousands of pieces that need to go together, and you've left me out. You can't do that. Now, Jacob, you're the God. You're the God. God, Jacob, you know God in a most wonderful way. Now, before you, there was a man just different than you, and that man's name was Job. Way back, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, way back with Abraham is a fellow named Job. So we're going to look at him first, and over, if you would, please, in the Gospel of Job, Job chapter 1. Now, Job isn't like Jacob, as we mentioned in Sunday school. Job chapter 1, verse 8. And the Lord said to Satan, remember, Satan's trying to get some trouble, make some trouble. God is a refuge in a time of trouble. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect an upright man, perfect, single-hearted, one that feareth God. He has a healthy, reverent, awesome respect for God, and he escheweth evil. He hates evil. He hates it. He doesn't. He's participle. He isn't interested in the wrong direction. He's interested in the right direction. He wants to honor me. He doesn't want to dishonor me. Now that's Job. Job, and that's a wonderful. Wonderful person Job is, and his heart is right. Now, but in his heart being right, you got to face reality, Job, and I'm going to help you understand more, greater, much more. I'm going to help you understand what I am. I am to you. So you are very happy, Job, because you have everything. You have health, family, health, wealth. You have all friends. Your situation back there in the days of Abraham thereabouts is a wonderful one. You have all, everything you need. Nothing's missing. It's like a little paradise comparatively. Wow. Now, Job, what are you missing? You're missing, you're trusting all the environment and honoring me in it all, but I want you to appreciate who I am so that you can grow up and face reality so much better. Therefore, over, if you would, in Job and chapter 32. Job and chapter 32. Of these three men, so these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Now, Job is trying to say, listen, I didn't do anything, and he didn't. Job didn't do anything wrong. God, he's going through all of this mess. And he didn't do anything wrong. He's just looking to God, and all of a sudden it happens. Everything happened at once. So, wow. So now he understands. So his friend's trying to tell me, you must have done something terribly bad. And Job says, no, I didn't. Over, if you would, to chapter 33. And in verse 9, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. What can I say? I can't see anything. God, you're after something. I am. I'm going to help Job. And they're going to go through everything, and you're going to help me to have a wonderful exercise in reality. I'm going to go and cause you, Job, to collapse. I'm going to have you collapse so that you can rise up again and honor me the more, appreciate me the more. How much do you appreciate the presence of Almighty God right now? And we are in His presence. If the Lord were to take us up right now, which would be wonderful, would you appreciate God different? Wouldn't it be a huge change to have the reality, the light come on brighter and brighter? Wow. Wow. So Job, here we are. Here's a good guy. And a good guy, God, what do you want for us? A greater appreciation. When I had a father, I did. My father passed on a long time ago. And in the process, one of the things that I, as I grew up a little bit, in the process, I understood, I appreciated my father more and more. When I was younger, I didn't appreciate. Worked two jobs for me so I could eat everything and did everything. He did all of that. Wow. So that I could have the little bit I did. And I didn't have a lot. I never owned a pair of ice skates because we couldn't afford them. I never owned them. I never had a lot of stuff. And my helmet, one I had, wasn't that good. Now, in the process of all of that, God, I wanted to know Him. He had, wow. I wanted to know Him. I wanted to understand Him. And I did. I appreciated Him more. And as I got older, I appreciated my father for who he was. I had to learn that. I didn't have it normally. I had to learn it. I want to learn about appreciating God, my Father, more. And the more I learn and the more I appreciate, it's a wonderful thing to know Him. I don't want to be distant. I want to be close. So do you. Now, in the process, Job, you're close, but God wants it, the reality, closer. Thus over to chapter 42. You're going to humble Job, as you know, absolutely. And in Job 42, Job awakens to the whole process that God put him through physically and mentally and every spiritually. And Job awakens to the process. Verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, that no thought can be holden from thee. Now, Job, you know that. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Here I am trying to help God. I'm trying to help you out. And God, I'm trying to help understand. But boy, your thoughts and your ways are higher than the heavens. And God, here I am with my little thought. So who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? I don't want to be that. I not that way. Chapter 38, I'll turn there. Chapter 38, and in verse 2. I'll read verse 1 so you connect it. Then the Lord answered Job and out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Now that's what Job is. God said that to Job, And now Job says that back to God. Who did I think I am talking to you like that? Now, verse 3. Who is he that I counseled not? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. I talked about stuff, but I really didn't understand the magnificence. When you talk about being saved, do you understand the magnificence of being saved? Do you understand the wonderment of being saved? No. 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 Of knowing God. No. No. Don't have that. Don't have that at all. All right. Things too wonderful for me, verse 3, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ear. But God, it's got to me. But now mine eye seeth thee. And God, since I've awakened to the wonderment of your wonderful person, wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. God, I awake to the wonderment of who you are. Now, I'm a good guy. I'm a good guy, and you did that. Yes, I did, God said. I did that, and that's what the lesson. God, why'd you put it in your word? So that people, all of us, could learn from that. So that you say, well, I've tried to do my best in everything. Well, that's very good. But there's more, a lot more. And God, would you help me go through the reality exercise, the College of Hard Knocks, and learn it? Now, having said that about Job, now we mention Jacob. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Over to Genesis 32. Genesis chapter 32. If you would. And you remember Jacob now. And Jacob goes through, as we mentioned again in Sunday school. Here's Jacob going through, and he goes through, has to get in the right place to be blessed back in the land. And his going back to the land, he's ready to go back reluctantly. And then he tries to escape going back. Chapter 32, verse 25. And when he saw that, this is the verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, Jacob said, let me go, let me, the Lord said, let me go. Jacob was hanging on, understandably. Got his hip out of place. 4, the day breaketh, and he saith, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said, now Jacob's hanging on. That's what he had to do. Hang on to God. What was he? No, he didn't hang on to himself. He didn't look for anything else to hang on to. He held tightly God and said, and understood what? God, you've got to bless me. And he said unto him, verse 27, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. Why? For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hath prevailed. And Jacob asked him, what? And said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. He blessed Jacob. He blessed Jacob. Verse 30, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared. In other words, the pre-incarnate Christ wrestled with him and put his hip out of joint, as it were. And thus in the process, he blessed. Jacob wasn't going to let go until God blessed him. That's what he was going to do. Now, having said that little bit, over to chapter 35. And in verse 9, if I can, 35:9. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram, and blessed him. Again. And God said, I'm going to bless you. And he did. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall be not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall thou be named. And he called his name Israel. And God called his name, God said, I'm going to give you a new name. Israel. Jacob, the God of Jacob. But then God, but he's the God of Israel. Ah, that's true. But you want to understand, there had to be a wonderful transition, a transaction had to take place between, in Jacob's mind and heart, he had to learn something, he had to understand something. That Jacob, you have to be in the right place, looking to me in the right way to enjoy the benefits. And you haven't been. For all these years, you've been with Laban, now you're coming back into the land. They're going to bless you. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to call your name Israel. But it took a wonderful, awesome transition. And that, you did everything with Laban, trying to survive and succeed. It was all Jacob's doing, for the most part, in his mind. Now it needs to be God's doing. You need to trust God. God is a refuge in the time of trouble. Not me giving you good things or bad things. It's an understanding of my wonderful person and presence. That's where it all centers. The center, the circumference, are all right there. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, over to Isaiah. Isaiah and chapter, as you might guess again, chapter 41. Isaiah 41. Now, God's trying to help Israel, understandably, and therefore, hang on, because we're looking at, why would you say in Psalm 46 twice, the God of Jacob is your refuge? Do you understand? He could have said the God of Israel, but he didn't. Why? Israel is a prince. Jacob is a scoundrel. So God, can you take any... Job is a wonderful person. Jacob is a rascal. He's a rascal. So God, whether the Job or a Jacob, you're right. No matter who, the good guy and a bad guy, they need to face and learn and enter into the reality. Isaiah 41, verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. Thou, whom I have taken from the ends of the earth, and called thee from the chief men thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee, and not cast thee away. Fear thou not. Why not? For I am with thee. Don't be dismayed. Why not? For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm a wonderful refuge. I'm the one. I'm a person. Verse 11, behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed, all the enemy and all the ones that went after Israel, and confounded. They shall be as nothing. They and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them, and thou shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, as a thing of naught. In other words, all the things you had to fear and worry about and get frustrated, you can't even find them to worry about them. I'm going to remove them all. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God. You use that phrase, don't you, in the future. And you will have no remembrance of sin. Nothing. All new. Everything new. Wonderful new. You can't go back and say, I remember this. You don't remember anything. I put it all aside. I forgave your sin as far as the east is from the west. I have taken it from you. I'm not going to look at it again. Wow. Neither are you. Now we're ready for that wonderful statement. Verse 13. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. And now the point. Verse 14. Fear not, thou. It's a wonderful caring of an omnipotent God looking at frail, mere humanity. Fear not, thou worm Jacob. Thou worm Jacob. You worm. What do you do with worms? I don't fish. I take worms and I make them men and women and boys and girls. I transform their being, not because of their IQ or their intellect, their work, their home, their job, their personality. I transform them by understanding who I am. And they learn to trust me with all their heart. And they are transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of what? Romans 12:2. The renewing of your mind here. Think. Fix your thinking. Wow. Now, having said that a little bit, thou worm Jacob, ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. God, you're very good about what you do, and when you do, and how you do. Now, God, there's all kinds of ways to just keep going. Now, just you're in Isaiah, so we'll, why not? Isaiah chapter 6. Just looking at it again, different way, same thing. How do you handle life, the hard things in life? Well, here they are. You want to go forward and serve God and honor God and help the world. Help the world, and you want people saved, and you want them to have rightness. You want peace in the world. You want to have things right as opposed to wrong. But it doesn't happen. So God, what about that guy, girl, that cares, that trying to see, look for some good, to something, make it home, make work come out in school, and people get saved, and it's harder and harder. Not harder for God. It's harder for people because they don't want it. They got, like we would in John 10. Their hearts get harder, like Pharaoh gets hard. And the more God knocks, the harder the heart gets. Wow. So here, Isaiah 6. Here's Isaiah. And God, he looks, King Isaiah dies. He was counting on the king to work out good things. Verse 1, in the year that King Isaiah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, his garment filled the temple. Wow. God, and verse 3, and they cried, the seraphim, one unto another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah, what are you looking at? Well, I'm looking at not the king, I'm looking at the King of Kings. And when I look at the King of Kings, boy, is it different. I took my eye off of the king on the earth and looked up, and there you are. And boy, are you different. Verse 4, and the post of the door moved, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am done, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And Jeremiah, what happens to you, to Isaiah? What happens to Isaiah? He awakens to the fact that he and the people In contrast, in comparison, in the light of God's holy, holy, holy person, we are so far afield from the reality of the world in which we live in, the Creator who created us. We're so far distant. We speak wrong, we say wrong, we think wrong. And so God says, wonderful, Isaiah. You understand that? I said, I do, God. Boy, are we down. Verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And Jeremiah was ready now to speak, unclean lips and all. He said, God, I'm just me, but boy, something needs to be done. And say, wow. Now, God, are you going to help Isaiah? Yes, I am. And thus Isaiah wants to know, remember, how long? How long is it going to be? Verse 9, and he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not, not all negative. Verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. When are you going to have anything positive? For 40, remember, we just did it, 40 years of your ministry. 40, 0. Would you be faithful for 40 years and you saw nothing except captivity, the Assyrian captivity? Would you have been faithful? God, you have to humble us. So we're looking to you. You have to bring us down to reality. And so you took Job, and you took Jacob, and you took Isaiah. That's how they made it. And we're trying to be somebody and have something, and we'd like to have a little experience, God, that you love us and that you care. And we want that little experience in our head. We want to touch my elbow so I have a sensation, and that'll be good. God said, I don't do that. That's flesh. And that will never help you, because you're depending on your senses. You don't depend on your sense. You depend on faith, reaching outside of yourself totally to another person, namely me, said God. Don't trust yourself. Trust me. That's what you've been trying to say. Now, how are we going to handle that job? Well, Isaiah was a wonderful prophet. Wonderful prophet. And God, you helped him. But he had to eat humble pie. He had to do all that. Wow. You remember a few years ago, could have been more recent, but a few years ago when the Patriots had a thing. And it was a big thing, and someone gave me a Patriots sweatshirt. And it said, because that was the big thing, remember, humble pie, eat humble pie, eat humble pie. I never wore it, you know, because I'm not that ready yet to eat humble pie. Wow. God, what do you mean? We got to do that. You're looking at yourself. Forget looking at yourself. That's the trouble. When you look in a mirror, back to mirror, why not? In a mirror, now if I'm looking at all your faces, present, pleasant, beautiful, marvelous. Now I'm going to take, and I'll put my magnifying glass in front of you. Let's see. 50 times, 50, magnification. Tell me what your nose looks like now. Tell me what your skin looks like. What happened to the beauty? You're looking at a close look, aren't you? And when you take a close look, it isn't quite what you think it is. Life's like that. And we need to take a close look at it to see it as it is. We need to take a close look to see what we really are. Not what we think we are, and not what we want to be or we want others to be. It's what you want us to be. And we tend, God, we don't want to see. God, you're wonder. What are you saying? Don't you understand? It is a wonderful thing to collapse and eat humble pie. To be like Paul. Paul, that's what made Paul so marvelous to handle things. He said, O wretched man that I am, 7:24 Romans, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And that's what made him great. He was real. He saw himself. He didn't come around with some notion of something about himself that wasn't true. He saw himself. So now, God, here we are looking. Over, if you would please, to Luke and chapter 5. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 5. Be of good cheer. The wind has not blown one tree over that I see out there. And so we who are all upset about being blown away in the tornado, just relax, and the weatherman will just keep on going and predicting the weather. Now, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 5. And Simon answered, verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets as a draught to pick up the fish. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net again. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. It was so full of fish. Verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink so many fish in the ship. God, can you do it big? I'm never stingy, God said. I'm never stingy. That's why I multiply everything when I do things. Wow. Now, God, so here we are, and the ship began to sink, and when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, and listen to his words. You'd think, well, thank you, Lord, for so much. No. He realized how dumb he was in even questioning our Lord. We've searched all night and caught nothing, and therefore don't bother. He realized how stupid that was to say to God, God, it can't be done. It'll never happen. And the end of verse 8, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. I am a sinful man. God, we are not trying to have self-preservation. Nope, we're not trying to do that. God, you got to help us get through it, because we do try to have self-preservation. That's our problem. We just get all wrapped up in ourselves in some way, fashion, and we don't understand that you don't want us to do that, and we're going to have to be in the place where we're able to go through a healthy humbling, a healthy collapse. And in the process, what? No failure on our part needs to be fatal. There's no such thing as failure that's fatal if you turn to me. Even in Jeremiah, in our study on Wednesday, remember, Nebuchadnezzar is on his way. And Israel, if Nebuchadnezzar had his bow and arrow, as it were, ready to fire right then. And if Israel would turn to God, the arrow would never get to the heart of Israel. It would never arrive. God, you're there. Even at the thief on the cross, how many minutes did he have to make a decision and think about it? About whether to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In one moment of time, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Remember me, he said. Now, so no failure needs to be fatal. No past defeats, failures, faults put victory out of reach. Recovery is wonderful. It's reachable. So no matter how bad your life has been, no matter how, and you look at your life, the years of your life, and you look at them and say, what have I got for my years? You could even be married, have children and job and everything, and have all of that. What have you done? What have you got when you're done? Actually, what have you got? What have you got that is going to count? Well, I don't have anything if all I have is that. So God, I've got to look to you. And therefore, God, I'm going to look to you, and I'm going to understand that no matter how bad, no matter 60 years of your life, make believe, the next 10 days are recoverable and wonderful, no matter how 60 years have gone by. God said, confess your sin, and I will what? Forget it. I want you to recognize who I am and stop trying to hang on for all the years that you've done this and did that, and you're looking for some reward, something, and it isn't there. You're looking in the wrong place. Look to me for my grace and mercy. That's what to look for. Now, and God, are you going to be discouraged about us? Never, 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 never. You're not going to be discouraged. And back to where we were in the beginning. God, what are you going to tell us? When the whole world opens up and everything is awesomely awful, I want you to know I am a refuge. I am a very present help in trouble. I am the God of Jacob. And being the God of Jacob, I want you to be still. 46:10. I want you to be still. Shh. And know I am God. That's what I want you to be. The answer is knowing me. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with us according to your grace and mercy and kindness. God, thank you for just being God to us. So we're looking to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth, that which we know, that which we don't know, our understanding. God, help us to learn, to grow, and to be patient, and to develop, and to God to bring us into the place of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to bring us beyond that to a wonderful relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. God, thank you very, very much for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you for coming. Thank you for the weather. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we can sing, please, a stanza.